What's up? I'm George Massey. It's the George Massey Show. So we just watched the Tell All No Limits Part 5, Episode 5, I guess, of the Happily Ever After. I'm waiting on Kara to get here. She's going to be here in a second. And we're going to get into this episode. This is one of two after shows I'm doing tonight. So this after show will be done. Show, I'm going to jump over to Twitter with Shibuti, and we're going to do another after show with you guys on Twitter because, you know, this was kind of a big episode, right? We were waiting for a long time. Hey, Jaina.
Hey.
So, Kara's here. So, we're going to get into part 5. So, first of all, I want to get everybody's raw reaction because I was on Twitter. I keep calling it Twitter. I think you're supposed to call it X. And people felt like, oh, hi from Toronto. Hi, Diva Speaks in Toronto. People felt like this episode was unnecessary or uncalled for, and they felt like there wasn't a lot going on. So I wanted to get both of your raw reaction from watching this episode. Was it necessary to have 5 parts? Do you feel like we could have ended it at 4? Like, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I thought it was awesome.
So you thought this was a good episode. You were thoroughly entertained.
I wish we would have got more Michael. I want more of Michael's story. I want Michael's side. Well, I want to see Angela get her ass beat.
Gina, how you feel?
I don't know. I thought that I needed more drama. That was kind of lacking. But I'm definitely with on Kara's, and I needed more Michael. But funny thing is, I missed the last 20 minutes of it because where I watch it, or 30 minutes of it, the girl goes on TikTok and her account got banned due to stupid Jasmine and Gino's toe scene.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Oh my gosh.
TikTok got banned? Who's
pardon me?
Who's TikTok got banned?
Oh. It was just banned until next week or whatnot for a week. It was where Dee Dee and I watch it.
I think it's
And no, she goes just, live.
It's just like a random person, right? It's no one from
No, it's no one from the show or anything like that. And she goes live on TikTok, and then her TikTok got banned due to content. Like, that content reason, it was because of stupid Gino and Jasmine's stupid toe.
So I want to ask y'all. I want to ask y'all because there was an altercation between Sophie and Lauren at the beginning of this episode, and Lauren called Sophie a huge bitch. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Lauren, definitely not a big fan of Sophie, but I don't disagree, because she was like, oh, I get it now. I get why Rob and you didn't work out. I get why people say that you're such a bad person. And that altercation, Sophie was like, that's so offensive and rude. And I was like, well, no, whenever people start to tell the truth about Sophie, she starts crying and she calls them rude. She says that they're nasty, they're a liar, they're cheaters. I did like the idea that Sophie met her match, because nobody really is calling Sophie out on her shit. And unfortunately, Lauren was the only one to do it right before she left. But I felt like it was necessary, right? Because everybody was like focused on calling Angela out, or they're focusing on calling everybody else out. Sophie was getting away with so much at this tell-all, and I felt like this was so needed. And I was just happy to see that Lauren took that opportunity to do that, right? Like, I'm not big with Lauren or Alexi, because we actually saw another interaction where Ashley got really pissed at Alexi because Jasmine was talking and Ashley was cutting her off. And Alexi's like, you know, let her finish, but he used like a hand gesture and she took that as a personal thing. So, like, how do y'all feel about that? Do you feel like it was rude the way Alexi asked Ashley to let Jasmine finished talking? I didn't take it that way. So when they explained it to me that way, I didn't understand it. So how did y'all take that?
He hand gestured everything we were all thinking. I was thinking, shut the fuck up, Ashley, the whole time. So
pretty much, yeah, same thing. And then Ashley's just living in her own, or doing her own thing and living in her own world, and thinks she has every right to everything. So, you know, Ashley will just do Ashley and that's it.
Well, the interesting part is we watched some segments with Ashley and Manuel, and we found out that Manuel has $200 a month child support. Like, we knew that he was sending money back to Ecuador. Well, quotes, to Ecuador, to his kids. We didn't know how much. We didn't know that it was court ordered, right? Like, this was new information. We thought he was sending it back because he wanted to. He's actually sending it back because it's required of him. And he revealed tonight that his sister opened a line of credit to help him get, how do you call it? In the positives of his child support payments, because he was in the negative. And he felt that Ashley doesn't take it seriously enough. So I wanted to get y'all's opinion, because I don't know, guys. Like, I feel like Ashley paying his child support, I get that they're married and his bills are her bills, but it's not her responsibility to pay the child support. But is it really her responsibility?
Why wouldn't it be? She brought him here, as she's thrown in his face 47 times.
He can't work.
So she had to go to this attorney to do a post nup to say that you inherited each other's debt. She is absolutely responsible for that shit.
So him saying that he might leave her because he can't work, because I guess the real issue tonight was she waited one full year to put the paperwork through. And he feels like that's a year that he could have been working and getting ahead. And he feels like it was like a personal attack, because he doesn't like sitting around and asking someone else to cover his debts, especially Ashley, because Ashley tends to make him feel bad whenever he needs something. And we saw this with Jasmine too, when she first got here. Gino would try to make her feel bad if she needed money or needed the credit card or needed him to buy something. And when you bring somebody here who's not legally allowed to work, who has absolutely no means of taking care of themselves, because he's coming from Ecuador, he didn't have a savings, right? Like, he didn't come over here with thousands of dollars. I think it's wrong when the American counterpart, they're like, oh, well, you don't know how hard it is for me. And I'm like, it is hard for everyone, but it's harder for them who gave up everything and now they're fully dependent on them. Because I can't imagine leaving my comfort of my bubble and my life and my financial situation and just putting myself in the mercy of another person. And if they decide that I can have something, I can. And if they decide that I can't, I get, like, I don't know what that's like. And I don't ever want to know what that's like.
And if, right? I did, and you threw one thing in my face about how you brought me over here, or it's your visa, my shit's packed and I'm gone.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Like, I don't know. I think she was just seeing, like, let me see how long, like, kind of playing the visa card, like a puppeteer almost. Like, let me string Manuel along, like Pinocchio, and just, like, string that visa card and see, like, if he'll last this long, or if he'll, like, just put him through tests. Because, like, the red flags are all there.
This was a trial run, right? Yeah. So you're saying this was a trial run. She was seeing how things went before she really put the ink on the paper, right? Because once you put the ink on the paper, there's no going back. And, you know, Manuel is very secretive, so it is easy for you to have doubts about what you're getting into. And she probably looked at it as, the longer I don't put the ink to the paper, I could possibly send him back, right? Like, I could.
But that was also, he doesn't speak English. So if you don't speak Spanish, George, and I walk up to you with 50 pages written in Spanish, and I said, here, fill this out and sign it, then what?
Well, that would do nothing for me, because I not only can't speak Spanish.
Trust me, like, I hope this bitch is legit.
Well, right. I can't speak it. I can't read it. I don't understand it. And this is coming from someone who took it for 2 years. I took Spanish and French in school. Couldn't tell you nothing, right? I have no recollection of it whatsoever. So I know exactly, her printing out papers and handing it to him is basically a slap in the face. It's basically saying, you want this done, you do it, knowing that he cannot do it. And I think that's almost disrespectful in a way, right? Saying, well, I know you want this done, I'm not doing it, you can't do it, but here's the paper, if you can look at it while
wouldn't he go to, like, a pro bono lawyer, like, that speaks Spanish to read over the documentations?
Because it's damn near impossible. It's damn near impossible to find a pro bono lawyer in America.
You gotta
be falsely accused of something big and hope Kim Kardashian comes to your rescue.
Yeah, that's true, because so many people have tried using the Pope pro bono because they thought they were going to get a big payout, and then the lawyers got burned, and they did years worth of work on cases and got nothing.
Yeah.
Well, literally, they were upside down. So, yeah, nobody wants to do anything without actually receiving money up front, and especially in an immigration case, because he's not winning a judgment of money. So nobody, there's no big payout at the end. Exactly. So the lawyer's like, well, what do I get? You're going to get your, you're going to get your paperwork. What do I get at the end? Because if you go to a Walmart and you fall and you break a limb, a pro bono lawyer is more likely to take your case because Walmart has billions of dollars. And you, and if literally if you fell and there was no sign that told you be careful, you're going to get paid. And that lawyer is also going to get paid. Like, it's so much easier when there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, you know what they say, lawyers are in it for the money. They don't care if you did it or not, right? Like, lawyers, they think that way. And unfortunately, you know, that's just a part of the game. And if helping people just because you want to help people, that's like a thing of the past, right? Like, there's so few lawyers out there that just want to help people for the sake
of it. Like, what about a notary, right? A notary would be cheaper than a lawyer, and you can read over the document in Spanish.
Notary, and I cannot give legal advice.
Right.
No, but like, read over the document and basically simplify it and translate it for them.
But I think that's more of a translator than a notary, right? Like, that you have to hire. Yeah, the notary is only there to be in presence and legalify that document.
Yep.
You can't, like, translate it for them. Like, that's, like, taking it a step further. Yep. Okay. I mean,
makes sense.
I can't speak on anything I sign. I can't help you understand it. I'm just there
to stamp it.
Right, that I saw you sign.
Okay, gotcha.
So, Angela left the house. Angela and Michael left the tell-all, didn't go back to the house that night, and Lauren and Alexi left, but the rest of the cast did go back to the house, and they did have some conversations. And I want to talk about this Ed and Liz interaction the last night, because, you know, when they first got into the house, the interaction between Ed and Liz was very aggressive and hostile, and then we were watching a more friendly interaction between Ed and Liz, and it was really confusing to me, because when you say someone has hurt you and treated you so badly, it was just really weird to me watching Liz, like, and she said it, she's like, we got comfortable with each other again. And I understand why people, when they break up with someone that they really feel is toxic, it is very important that you detach yourself and make sure that that person is not around you, because falling back into that, or I think they call it backsliding, back into that situation because it's familiar, I think that's what we were watching. Because I was like, Liz, where was the energy when you were screaming and, you know, you wanted to get your point across, you wanted to make sure he was a liar, you wanted people to see what he did. Now tonight you're making him tacos, right? And you're like talking like everything's fine. I was like, where's Jason too? I was like, I don't like the idea of him weaseling his way back into her life. And then he said to Patrick, he's like, if I wanted to close the deal, I could have, meaning he could have slept with Liz, right? And I don't believe that, but I also don't know, because the way that they were interacting when Jason wasn't around, I really did feel like she was falling back into that place where she was just letting him run her life.
I was so pissed off over the Ed and Liz scenes tonight. I was, that was ridiculous. But I'm also pissed off at Patrick. Patrick's opinion of everybody else that he spoke about, he doesn't have a clue what the hell's going on. He has no idea. Well, Ed said this, but Ed's probably lying, and Ed said this, and Patrick was useless on this whole season, completely useless.
Well, we've never known Patrick to be very opinionated, right? I think Jamal calls him
even when Lauren is saying, your husband needs to stand up for you, he literally says, I do stand up for her, and then bows his head. Didn't even look her in the eye. He just put his head all the way down.
He just sits there like a dud. He's like, and watch paint dry.
He's a, what do you call it when someone is not confrontational? He's anti-confrontation. And because remember when he was in Brazil and they wanted him to have a conversation with his dad about the apartment, it took everything in him to do that. He is so non-confrontational. And then when John and Thais are screaming at each other, he just pretends like he's not present. And, you know, being married, you have to always know when it's time to speak up. Like when Lauren was screaming with Sophie, Alexi came and sat next to her, to Lauren, and he started interjecting. You know, you have to know when it's time to get involved when your significant other is in a situation. Now, I don't like to say that you need to save anyone, because I don't believe that that's true, but I feel like you should always be present in case they need you, right? Like you should insert yourself when needed. And I feel like Patrick will let people scream at his wife and he will not insert himself in the situation and defend her. And I think that's, and I don't think it's because he doesn't love her. I think it's just, he was raised in a way where he never wanted to confront anyone and it's become a defense mechanism. He feels, and it's really, it's ironic to me because he's a massive guy, right? Like he's very intimidating. If you don't know him and you see him for the first time, you would think that he would be intimidating, but he's the complete opposite. He's the most soft-spoken.
Patrick's intimidating?
He's huge. He's like a bodybuilder. Like, no, so I said if you first looked at him for the very first time and you've never seen him on the show, you would think he could be intimidating.
If I never knew him, never seen him on the show, the first time I looked at him, I would say, why is this guy's head so tight? First of all,
that would look like Popeye.
My second.
Well, that's the steroids. That's the steroids. Yes.
Oh, I know.
As soon as he starts talking, I'd be like, this guy is such a puss.
Like, well, yeah.
I would know it instantly.
He's a massive teddy bear. And I think that's his downfall because he doesn't know when to stand up, you know, and he's got a daughter too. You know, when you have a daughter, you have to make sure that you know when it's time to stand up for the women in your life. You know, fathers have to be that stern figure. You know, when she starts dating, he needs to be the one to say, hey, look, you want to take my daughter on a date, treat her right, or you're going to deal with it. You know, like you have to.
John doing that more than him.
Oh, yeah. This is natural for
him. He's going to say, if you want to take my daughter on a date, if you hurt her, you're going to deal with my wife. That's what he's going to say.
Let's be real, Thais is not very intimidating either. So somebody's got to stand up for Alessi, right? So John, this is your responsibility. We're assigning this to John. John is the one who has to make sure that Alessi is protected at all costs, because I can't delegate that to Patrick. I'm not comfortable that it'll be done. Also, let's talk about my visa. So Angela referred to Michael's visa as her visa, and forgot her name. Jasmine had a huge issue with that. Well, actually, a lot of the cast members from other countries have a problem with that because, yes, the visa process is done by the American citizen, right? The American counterpart is the one who starts, initiates, and completes the process. But the actual card, the visa, the paperwork is in the name of the person that is being brought over here. So this made me think, like, because the way that Angela treats Michael, it is as though he's property that she brought over here, like an animal, like a dog, a cow, a water buffalo. And I was like, her thought process on her visa, it's in line with the idea that she can treat him however she wants because he belongs to her. And I think that she's under the impression that when you bring somebody over here on a visa, it's like in one of those third world countries where when you get married and that woman becomes your property, you can do with her as you wish, right? Like there's countries where you can hit a woman and as long as she's your wife, there's no crime committed, right? Yeah. There are countries where that happens. And I think that Angela's under the impression that visa people and green card people who come over here from another place are a property.
Yeah.
And I don't know where she gets that, you know, because that's never been the case. They have legal rights. And they can gain citizenship, the same citizenship that she has, they can also gain. But I think that when she said that it was her visa and she can revoke it as though she was the immigration department, she's the federal government.
Yeah.
It started to shed a little light on her thought process.
Yeah, she's disgusting. She is a vile human being. And if I don't ever see that bitch again, it will be way too soon.
What she said about like her country, like, with Kobe and stuff like that, it was just making my blood boil as well. I'm like, oh my God, I want to throw something at my TV right now.
She said it as though it's her country and Kobe's not supposed to be here.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. Like that's the way she said it. She's like, well, this is America, this is my country, as though the cast from other countries that were there in the room with her, they were guests. And I was like, these people have legal citizenship. They have legal stance to be here. You can't say this is your country. First of all, America doesn't belong to anyone. It was founded by immigrants, okay? Like, they came up, nobody was from here but the Indians. So, like, I don't know if she took history in school, but, like, let's be realistic. Nobody is from America unless you're a Native American, right? Like, you might have come here and been born here, but everyone migrated from somewhere else. So I don't know where her thought process is, where she, but America belongs to her, and then she decides who she lets in and who she doesn't let in. Like, that's never been the way we run our borders. Right. And I just think and she had this altercation with Kobe. So I want to get into that, too, where I didn't really see her take like a swing like I heard before. But she really got close enough to where security had to get between them. So I wanted to get your thought process on that, because Kobe was, you know, Kobe was standing his ground on how he felt about the way Angela was treating Michael throughout the season, not just at the tell-all. He was like, let's not pretend that this just started. Let's address your behavior from start to finish. And she refused to listen to anything. She would tell him to shut up. She started screaming. She started cussing. And then she got so close to his face that security had to step in. And I wanted to get your reaction on that, because Kobe's not her husband, okay? Like, Kobe is Emily's husband, and Kobe could easily pull out his cell phone and call 911 and say, she's assaulting me. So what do you guys think about the fact that she thought that she had the right to get all up in this man's face?
First of all, this season, like, I loved Emily and Kobe before, but I absolutely fell in love with them all the way this season. Kobe's handled everything like a pro. Like, he knew exactly what's going on with everybody. He did so good. Emily was so, I mean, probably because she was the only sober one in the house, but she was like literally able to help guide everybody. They were just like the perfect piece of the puzzle. But when Angela got in Kobe's face, and she's cussing at him, and she turned around, and as she's screaming in his face, says, no disrespect, Emily.
Right.
Bullshit. You want everyone's spouse to stand up for everyone's spouse. So if Emily wasn't pregnant, I would hope that she would have just went over there and beat the shit out of her.
Well,
and I'm sure she probably would.
I'm pretty sure Emily would have gotten more involved if she wasn't 8 months, like you said, 8.5 months pregnant. Yeah. I think that she knows that getting physical was not going to help in that situation. But, you know, every time that anything happened with Kobe, I noticed throughout the tell-all, whenever it started and then within 30 seconds, I could see Emily in the frame. And, you know, that's how your spouse is supposed to be, right? Like, if something is going down and you're in another room and you hear it and you hear your spouse is screaming or someone is screaming at your spouse, just be present, right? Like, that's exactly what I would expect a wife or husband to do. Just be there. Like, you might not need me. I think you can handle yourself, but you're going to have me here supporting you just in case you need me. And I saw that even when they were yelling by the pool table, Emily wasn't in the frame at first, and then within 30 seconds, Emily's standing right next to her man. And I was like, that's exactly how a spouse should defend people. But Angela is a hypocrite, right? Like, she wants everyone to defend her. Absolutely no one is allowed to defend Michael, right? Like, I don't like the idea of that double standard. She's like, if anyone opens their mouth to say anything about Michael, even a non-biased thing, they're like, oh, well, I just think that you should let him speak. He should not. Everything is wrong unless they're calling him a scammer. And that's an issue for me. And the fact tonight, she said that she was surprised. She was like, I just woke up and he was gone. And I was like, you're surprised that you woke up and he was gone after the way that you treated him? And the fact that he said that he walked 5 miles through the dark woods, that's fear, guys. Yeah. That's fear. Can you imagine? Because if I'm scared, I might call an Uber. I might call a friend. There's so many. He walked 5 miles through the woods.
He said he walked 5 hours. That's
five hours.
That's probably
than 5 miles. That poor guy was running his ass off.
And he like almost got bitten by a dog. Was it a dog?
Yeah.
I think he had mentioned. And like, he like ran like Forrest Gump. Like, he was just out of there. Like,
that's fear. Yeah. Okay. That's fear. He feared for his life. And the fact that he said he had to wait for Angela to leave leads me to believe that he wasn't allowed, he had no freedom to leave.
Absolutely.
Because he said, I waited for her to leave the house and I got my things. I was like, when you tell the story that way, it makes me believe that she wouldn't have given you the free will to leave on your own.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. That's why when she was like, my worst nightmare happened, he left. And I was like, no, it's not your worst nightmare. It's what you were trying to prevent.
Yeah.
You were trying to prevent him from leaving, and he figured out a way to leave, and he got away. And now that he got away, he's going to tell everybody what you did. That's why it's your worst nightmare, because you had silenced him the entire tell-all. We got zero evidence, zero information on what really happened in their marriage, because every time this man opened his mouth, within three words, she shut him up and silenced him.
Yeah.
So I am so ready. I thought we were going to get more of his side of the story, but what we got was enough.
We will get it. It just won't be on TV. We'll just have to follow him on social media. Hopefully he's on Single Life. He raised so much money, over 40 grand for his attorney. Hopefully he's got a kick-ass attorney. I hope he takes her to the cleaners. I hope that she is responsible for him in every way possible without him ever having to contact her. And I just, I am nothing but the best.
Me too. I'm just happy that he got away, because again, I kept seeing this online. They were like, if this was reverse roles and it was a woman who was happened to run away, like somebody would be in jail. And we really do have to stop this double standard bullshit. We can't just allow people to get away with it because, oh, well, it's a man being abused and not a woman. We need to make the playing field even. I was saying this the other day on the other podcast. I was like, it's unfair that when a woman speaks up, you know, we created the Me Too movement. We make a platform. We have charities. We have shelters. We have everything to help women get out of these type of situations. But yeah. I heard a story from a man, actually in Ohio. My friend she started a nonprofit, What Battered Women's Shelter, and they would only take women and children. And I had heard from men who would try to go into these shelters who were battered men, right? And they would turn them away, one, because they were a man, or there was an exclusion where if you were a man and you had children with you, you could get in. But they would send single men away back into the situation. Yeah. And I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of this bullshit, and we need to protect everyone and make sure everyone is safe from abuse. It's not fair that we only protect women. We need to protect everybody. The playing field needs to be completely safe for everybody.
Yeah, I've been saying it since she threw cake in his face or a drink in his face or like she dented these. It's been so much emotional damage, not more physical, but emotional damage that she's caused this poor man, like with his car, with the cake, with everything else leading up to us. Like, and I've been saying it, like, they need to remove her from the show because this would not be tolerated if the roles were reversed. We live we like to believe that we live in an equal world, and things need to be on par. Like, it shouldn't be a double standard.
Yeah, it's gone on. It's 2024, right? We are allowed to choose our gender. We're allowed to choose our orientation. Why can't we all be given the same level of safety, right?
Absolutely.
We need to make things fair. And watching, and I'm hoping his story, because it's on such a bigger scale, right? So many more people are watching this. So many people took notice. This will open people's eyes. Maybe people who, you know, turn the other way. You know, we have a blind eye to this. I was talking to someone the other day and they were like, how many times, I think it was you, Gina. Actually, how many times were you in Walmart and somebody's wife was screaming at their husband and we just kept scanning at the self-checkout and didn't do anything because it was a man being screamed at and not a woman?
It was Lana at the on the other podcast. Yeah, we're quiet. We're not too crazy here in Canada. We're crazy, but not that crazy.
It's crazy here. You go to Walmart, you see some crazy stuff here, right? Like you see crazy stuff. But this for real, we need to start talking to congressmen. We need to start every state. We need to get a law in place that protects men and women. The laws are there for women, and I think that's amazing, right? Because a lot of times the women are stuck in this situation. But look at this situation. Michael was stuck to the point where he had to escape, like escaping from a kidnapper. That's how serious that this was. And it's like we're just turning a blind eye. Like, it's not that serious because of his gender. And it's super annoying. And it's scary because what if this didn't end this way? What if he didn't get out? You know how many people are unable to get out of this situation and then there's physical harm or of that, or they lose their life? or things like that. Like, we need to really start understanding the severity, especially when it comes to people who come from other countries, because these people are at the mercy of whoever brought them here. And I think this is because Jasmine brought it up too. She was like, can you imagine coming over here and you have no one, you have no family, you have no friends, you have no money, and then the person who brought you here hates you? Like, can you imagine how that must feel? Like, you're here, you can't leave. I mean, if you do leave, you can't come back. And that's only if they allow you to leave, because you need their money to leave.
Yeah.
And obviously Angela didn't want him to leave, so he couldn't. So it's like, it's a really scary thought, because, you know, if we feel like unsafe, we can get in our car and leave. We can call an Uber. We have that power. These people come over here and for a long period of time have zero power to protect themselves or remove themselves from a bad situation.
And a lot of them don't know what their rights are either.
Right? That's true. A lot of them, they don't know the laws, and they're terrified of the police and the government, because when they come over here, for some reason, they think that anything that they do is going to get them sent back.
Yeah.
Because there's like a stigma where don't get arrested or don't call the police because you're the immigrant, you're going to get sent back. That's not true. If you're the one, if you're the victim, the law is here to protect you. But they don't realize that because they don't know the law. They don't know that.
Yep. Yep.
So
it's a big advocate for sure.
So Sophie and Rob were talking about therapy. So we already know what the setup was for that tonight. They were talking about, Rob was like, I'm in therapy. And I was like, that's ironic. The only person I think should be in therapy is Sophie, but whatever. So he's in therapy. He asked her to go to therapy and she agreed. So obviously we know what that means. We're going to see them. We knew this on The Last Resort. We don't know when though, because apparently there's a weird thing going around, because the previews and commercials for Before the 90 Days said, the commercial says it comes on Sunday. The bottom of the screen tonight, it said Thursday.
Yep.
When you Google it, it says Sunday. Yeah. I'm really confused. And then it says the next Sunday, not this Sunday. So I don't think anything comes on this Sunday. I'm really confused at what's going on.
It might be because of Labor Day long weekend. Maybe they're not going to go.
It says.
Oh, so there's.
It says it starts September 1st. Okay. All over everything.
September 1st.
Yeah.
Because when I Googled it, it said September 5th. So I'm really confused. And it's always been Sunday. I want to say ever since I've watched the show ever, since season one, it's always been Sunday. The spinoffs have been spread out between Monday and Tuesday. But when on the bottom of the screen tonight throughout the part five, it said new season starting Thursdays. So I don't know what any of this means. So I don't know where we're going to be watching, if they're going to let us stream it, because I know tomorrow on Max, you can stream all of the tell-all five parts uncensored. So the cursing, they're not going to censor it. I guess that's like the I'm sorry apology they're giving all the people for not letting them watch it on streaming. They're giving you all five at once tomorrow uncensored, but that doesn't make anything better. There's so many people who are a month and a week behind on their favorite show, and there's absolutely no excuse for them to do that. I'm still pissed. I had so many people messaging me saying they can't watch.
Everything that I'm seeing is saying Sunday, September 1st.
Okay, so that's
on TV and Max.
So that's this Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll see. I'm gonna set my DVR to make sure that it's there. But yeah, it said on the TV, on the show tonight on live TV, it said Thursdays. So I was like, I don't understand what's going on with that. But Gino and Jasmine are also gonna be on The Last Resort. So we're gonna see Gino and Jasmine, Ashley and Manuel, and Rob and Sophie on The Last Resort. So those three people will be back. I believe The Last Resort is gonna premiere immediately after The Other Way on Mondays. So we still have a ways to go, because I think The Other Way has 20 episodes, right? And we're only on like 8. So we still have a ways to go. Yeah, we're only on like 8. Next week will be 9. So we have a ways, or tomorrow will be 9. So we have a ways to go before The Last Resort starts. But what happened tonight that we really, really need to discuss? Because this is kind of end of chapter for Happily Ever After. So we're gonna be closing off shop for this season. So what do we really need to talk about?
Well, first of all, the bullshit lie detector test. That was so fake and phony. So fake and phony. That's not how lie detector tests are administered.
He's been on, at all. They have on other, he's been on other lie detector shows. I've seen that guy before.
Really?
Who is administering the lie detector tests.
Yes, he has. And in every, that's where I'm going with this. Every single show he's ever been on, he's in a quiet, secluded room because there's too many things that can interfere and they don't wrap nothing around their chest. It's little things like EKG stuff that they put on them, finger monitors, and they monitor what they monitor their breathing. They monitor their, the, sorry, my light fell. They monitor the shit out of me. They monitor their breathing and the way their legs move and, you know, to see if they're doing anything to, like, you know, try to alter the test. But it's in a secluded room. There can't be any other noises or any outside influences or anything like that. So that was the most bullshit thing I've ever seen.
Well, the first thing he said that caught me off guard was Jasmine was like, how accurate is this? Or might not have been Jasmine. And he said 100% accurate. I was like, well, first of all, nothing is 100% accurate, right? Like, even as far as technology as we can send people to the moon, we cannot guarantee 100% accuracy. And even in
Jack Tremarco was the world-renowned expert in lie detector testing. God rest his soul. He passed away. But even he said there's never a lie detector test that is going to be 100%. He said, you're lucky. If it's 95 and above, that's good enough. And that's,
well, yeah, that. they don't have missed them in court because of that percentage of doubt, right? Just like if you take a paternity test, they're only going to give you 99.9%. There is a 0.01% chance it's wrong, right? Like, there's no scientific certainty in that. And then I thought that you're supposed to ask filler questions first, like, what's your first name? Mm-hmm. What town were you born in? You know, questions that, to gauge a person's response.
Yep.
And then that's how you gauge, you know, if they're telling the truth or not, because you gauge that response against one of the other questions to see if anything changed. It was bullshit, but I also felt like, what was the point of having him there if you were going to give people the opportunity to not take the test?
Right? I was pissed. I was just like, also, what is the point of this?
One thing I want to point out, last episode, when she brought out the PI and they found nothing on Michael, found out that he was being honest and all that stuff. Right before the PI read the results, she says, y'all are about to find out everything I've been going through and finding out. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. God proved me wrong. And then I said, proved wrong. Y'all fuck off. I'm out of here.
Well, I felt like she was counting on him being a scammer, which is really weird to me, because I was like, well, if you just don't want to be with him anymore, just don't be with him anymore. Like, you can't make him out to be something that he's not, you know, because she was like, oh, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's a good guy. And then she's, because that was even more weird, because when she said, oh, my worst nightmare, I was like, the way you treated him leaving was like the biggest favor that he's ever done for you, because Skyla's was like, my mom is miserable and angry and unhappy and aggressive. And I was like, well, Skyla, that's her anyway. But in this situation, she's still angry, miserable, aggressive, and unhappy. So him leaving should have made things better, because every second that she dealt with him, I can't imagine what her primary care doctor has to say. Can you imagine what her blood pressure is like on a regular day? She is always so high strung, screaming and angry and smoking. I can't imagine that any of this has been good for her health.
Right.
Like him, right? Like him leaving her is like the best thing that has ever happened to her, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And him, right? Like, and him. I feel like this is
the whole thing. For him.
Right? Like, this is definitely where both people win, right? Like, because I feel like Angela has been unhappy for a really long time. Like, we've been watching her for 7 years. And the giddy, happy Angela we haven't seen in like 5 years. Yeah. It actually started when they got married. When they got married, she's been angry, pissy, aggressive, rude, nasty, vile. When she first met him, when she first went to Nigeria, she was really happy. Like, she was smiling.
The only time I've ever seen her happy was at the airport when she hugged him, he hugged her. And then from that point forward, she threw cake in his face and treated him like shit. So.
Right. Before she met him in person is when she was the happiest, right? Because I remember how giddy she was. She would talk to the camera and she called him her sexy Nigerian, and how excited she was. And she would hold up the paperwork. She's like, I'm going to get my man. She was happy. And then that Angela has been gone for so long, you'd have to Google it to figure out who that person is. She has been so pissy and angry. And it's like, if somebody gets under your skin that much, the best thing for you to do is be away from that person. Yep. And I feel like she might not feel this way, but this is the best move.
But literally, she's a nasty, pissy person to everyone that doesn't say what she wants to hear and or defends Michael. If either of those happen, if you're not saying, you're so beautiful, God bless you, queen, then you're the devil and you can go straight to hell in her eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad. She's worse
than a two-year-old. She's just like smokes and drinks and God knows what else.
She's disgusting.
Guys. So apparently there was something Shibuti posted earlier. He said that there were, apparently the night that they weren't at the tell-all mansion, they said that Michael said in his interview they had a huge fight. And apparently there were pictures that surfaced on X of her hands. And her hands have bruises, like on the finger, like here, around the knuckle area. There's been a lot of speculation that fight was physical. So what do you guys think about that? Because when they arrived, there clearly was an altercation. Michael admitted, he was like, and she did too. She was like, that first night when y'all all came to the house, we were here, but we got into a huge fight. It wouldn't have been good for us to be there. And then they showed up the second day. Do you think there's any truth to the speculation going around? Because some people are saying that there is an altercation that happened between them and it's like being covered up. Like they're saying that production knew about it. And instead of putting a stop to it and not filming with them, it was swept under the rug. That's what's going around X on Twitter. So what do you guys think about that?
I agree. I saw her laying in the bed. The only time I ever agreed with her, when she threw her crown off and said, I'm not a fucking queen. I was like, damn straight girl, you are. That's the only time I ever agreed with her. And she's laying there and her hands are all scratched up. And all I could think was she went after him and he tried to stop her and she's yanking her half broken fingernails away from him. And she obviously bruises easily with her thin skin and no morals. She probably bruises very easy. You know, I'm sure that she was kicking his ass and it got swept under the rug.
I can see an altercation from occurring, but like with her anger issues, wouldn't he have any physical marks like bruises or whatnot, which he didn't show? I think she brought that on herself, possibly inflicted these wounds on her, like the bruises, to make people feel sorry for her at the same time. Like, oh my God, what happened? Because that's what a normal person's reaction is going to be like, oh my God, what happened? What did you do? Like,
I'm totally not like, normal because I saw that and I thought, man, I hope she got her ass beat.
Kara, no, we can't.
I do too, but let's face it, Angela has more anger issues than Michael does, and Michael would have been like twice as beaten. So that's all I'm saying. There is no evidence of that he was physically harmed. Good, yeah, well, but at the same time,
that we know of yet. We'll say that we know
emotionally harmed, yes. Physically not on that scene where they got into the altercation or whatnot. Right. So that's why I said she
passed. I mean, and bruises can be places you can't see them. You mm-hmm. know, like they're not always somewhere that you can see them. A lot of times, you know, they're on your back, on your shoulder, somewhere that you can't see. But I don't want to speculate.
I just think she did it herself so she can feel, because everybody was so pathetic towards Michael, she wanted that empathy back at her type of thing at the same time.
Her statements have said, everybody thinks I'm this evil, mean B word, and I'm not, and I'm crazy. So it would be like, oh, well, let me show them, you know, I'm not as crazy, which it backfired because all watching these five parts of the tell-all has really solidified that, you know, we don't think she's okay, right? Like, and this relationship was never okay. And because she kept saying on her live, she's like, you just have to watch the full season and the tell-all and you'll understand and you'll be on my side. And now here we are after watching the full season and the tell-alls, all five of them, and we're like, so what are we supposed to be on?
Did you see that live that surfaced recently? If not, I'll send it to you. That surfaced recently about She made some comment about she borrowed money from TLC. And there's what? Some discrepancy what? Over. I'll send it to you. Some discrepancy. Oh. It's on TikTok. Some discrepancy over what she owes Michael and her borrowing money from TLC. And so if that's, I mean, if there's any truth to the words out of her own mouth, then that explains why TLC kept her for so long, because she owed them.
Whoa. Okay, well, yes. Yeah, send me that. Yeah. That's interesting.
Send, so, Cara. Send.
Well, yeah. If you are taking pay advances or borrowing money against them, so yeah, they would need to continue filming with you to guarantee you're going to pay them back or to make that loan whole. And also, should a company be doing something like that? Should a company be advancing people money?
See, and I don't know
like that.
I don't know if there's any truth to it. That's words out of Angela's mouth, and I don't believe a damn thing she says.
Oh, then
yeah, because again, she's been trying very difficult to get people to see things from her perspective, her point of view. She wants people to see her as the victim in this situation. I think Michael's GoFundMe account shows us that people do not see that, right? Like, people are not seeing her as a victim. 100%. And they've chosen Michael as the person that they want to support here. And we will be following very closely the court case of the, well, she filed for an annulment. He countered for a divorce with spousal support and fair division of assets. So he's coming after her money, her car, you know, everything, and spousal support, which is very crazy because she doesn't have a job outside of TLC. You know, monthly spousal support is a monthly thing. You'll fall behind. And if you're not steadily working, it'll be hard to keep up. But I don't think Michael's worried about that. I think Michael wants to prove, you know, look, this is how you treated me. This is what you did. This is what I deserve. And I'm going to come for what I deserve. And I'm glad that he is able to find his voice and be able to do this, because I feel like he's lived in fear for so long. He never in a million years would have done it. 5 years ago, this would have never crossed his mind. He wouldn't have had the balls to do it. And I feel like now he's gotten stronger and he knows what he deserves and he's going after her. And I think it's amazing. And he has the support. You know, he has the support of the fans. He has a good lawyer. They posted who his lawyer was. I saw her credentials. She's an amazing lawyer. I'm very hopeful for him, right?
100%.
Me too.
Oh, what court is it? I think the court is in Texas, if I heard correctly. I'll get Shibuti to post the court documents. Actually, I believe 90 Day FOMO posted the full court docket. So it'll give you the court, the county, all of the motions, the counter motion, everything is there for you to read. So you'll be able, and then as it goes along, since it's a divorce, this will be a public record. So we'll be able to go along and we'll be able to read motions and injunctions and judgments. So we'll actually be able to follow along and see the process. And, you know, these typical cases don't last years, right? Divorces usually don't last years. So we might have a resolution within a few months, right? Like, because I can't imagine that Angela would want to drag this on, because the longer the courts have time to gather evidence against her, the worse it's going to go for her, right?
Yeah.
Well, Judy says, I thought it was in Georgia because that's where they both resided. See, I thought that he filed his motions in Texas where he lived. So you know what? I don't know. I'm going to say this. I don't know. Because when you're married but you live in two different states, you're 100% right. I don't know which court you would have to go to. So I don't want to.
She filed in Georgia. He filed in Texas. I'm not sure right. that one.
So yeah, we're going to have
to. She had to serve publicly because he didn't know about it. Remember, if you recall, he didn't know about it.
Right.
So then basically she had to file it in Georgia, where she lives in the state. And then he found out about it through other people, I guess, and that's how he found out about it. And where he was living is in Texas now, right? Or whatnot, or who knows.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't want to say where, I don't know. I'm not good at this. We've been on a crash course in legal stuff with this lately, because I haven't realized how uneducated I am until we're getting into the legal stuff of divorce and annulments and visas. And I'm like, man, I really need to educate myself, because there's so many questions I don't know. I just recently found out that GoFundMes are not taxable. So they're considered gifts. You just you report it to the IRS as a gift, and then you don't actually have to pay any taxes. So, because we were talking about that on the last podcast, I think Jenny, you were there.
Yeah, and so my girl. You only have to report it if it's over $6,000.
Well, right, but they don't take like a percentage of it out, because I thought that you had to pay like straight taxes on like income, but you don't. Right. So that's amazing. He's literally. Oh, and one more thing before we end, because we're gonna run out of time. There's a photo going around. Sarah Fraser has a podcast on it too, of Michael in front of a red Mercedes Benz, and Scott E. Scott made a comment on the photo and said, why is he asking for money if he drives a Mercedes? So first of all, that's alleged. We don't know that he drives a Mercedes. We know he took a picture in front of a Mercedes. And even if so, if he did buy a Mercedes, say for instance, he purchased this Mercedes with the money from the show before he knew about this court case, is it wrong that he spent his money on a vehicle before he knew he was gonna incur legal fees? Because he didn't know about, she filed in May, he didn't know about it until August.
Why the hell?
So it is very possible.
Say anything about anybody.
Well, yeah, right. I'm not exactly sure where Scott has a leg to stand on by speaking on anything going on with anyone, but he, of all people, he's the one saying, oh, well, he's asking for money and driving around in a really expensive car.
And his clout. He just wants to be on that clout too. That's why he jumped on that gravy train.
I definitely think pictures are worth a million words, and you need context. I know people that take pictures in front of Ferraris that are parked in the mall parking lot that don't belong to them. So I have no idea where this car came from. You know what? I was at Disney and there was a Cybertruck, and I stood next to the Cybertruck and I took a selfie. I don't own a Cybertruck, guys. It was just parked.
I have a picture with Brad Paisley and Mickey Mouse, and I don't own either one of them.
Exactly. So I don't want to speculate anything. So there's a bunch of podcasts. So that's going to be something that people are going to be discussing. It's going around. So hopefully somebody can secure an interview with Michael so we can just hear from him. Right. I think it would be important that we hear from him. He's been silent. And I know with the court case, there's a lot he can't talk about. But it would be good if Michael was able to at least voice some of what's going on and answer some questions, because I don't like when people come after people's character with no proof, right? Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like character assassination. I don't like that. Like, if you have proof, that's one thing. But if you just want to assassinate someone's character because you don't like them, I don't condone that. I don't condone it whatsoever.
Yep. We all know how I feel about Scott.
So. Of all people, he knows how to just put himself in anybody's business and never taking care of his business, but he's forever present in other people's business as though it's his job, which we don't really know if he has a real one. We don't know, but this is like his job. This is what he does. But okay, so this is gonna be the end of chapter for Happily Ever After for the season, but not for all this crazy drama going on with Angela and Michael. So, you know, we're gonna keep doing updates on the Angela and Michael case as it goes through the court system. It's very early. I don't even think there's any like dates or anything set, but as it goes along, you know, we are going to be talking about all of it. I'm so interested. You know, like, I'm not into like political or legal stuff. I don't follow cases, but I'm following this. I want to know what is going on. I want to know if he's going to get his spousal support, how much, you know. I have so many questions, and this is going to be like, and what if they get a judge and the judge makes an example out of Angela? Like, there's just so many different scenarios that I'm looking forward to. But as for Happily Ever After, this season, it's closed. It was good. It was decent. I'm looking forward to Before the 90 Days. There's, I think, 6 new couples. New. Yep. No repeats. Yep.
No recycling bin. No.
Yes. No Goodwill. No Goodwill reshop. This is all new. I'm really excited for that. So we're going to be doing a podcast on that as soon as it comes on. I'm really excited for that. And then we're going to keep doing the other way. And Dee Dee will be back with us at some point, hopefully soon. Thank you to Gina for being here with us tonight. Thank you to Cara for being here. Thanks for everybody who is watching and listening. And make sure you're following everybody. I'm going to tag Gina and Kara in this video. And follow me on all social media platforms at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Masi Show. Thanks for joining us tonight. Everyone have a wonderful night. And we'll talk to you all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. Good night.